Yes, so mesh implants are used for stress urinary incontinence and pelvic organ prolapse. Actually, we have found that for a lot of women who've had surgeries, that they had no understanding that mesh was being used. So that is a problem that we have now in actually trying to identify people who've had the surgeries. So it's a surgery that the HSE are not able to give us figures on how many mesh implants have been inserted in the country, and that is questions that were put to them at the Oireachtas Committee this week, and they can't access that data, but they've been told that they need to come back and they need to report to the government on that.
Melanie, what issues have arisen from the use of these implants?
So the issues are wide and varying. For some ladies, they suffer with repeat urinary tract infections. These can be chronic in nature. They can require hospitalisation. There is also a chronic pain factor that comes with it. And until women become aware of mesh complications, a lot of the time they haven't actually joined the dots that the pain that they're suffering could be related to mesh. So, for example, with one of the particular procedures that's done, there's a 10% risk of chronic groin pain. And the ladies describe it as a shooting pain from the groin down towards the knee. And that comes at a 10% risk of that occurring. So it's quite a common event. There's also awful nerve pain comes with it, and erosion of the mesh as it saws through the tissues in the body. And that can happen, it can take several years before it actually breaks through and before a woman's pain is believed. So we'll see Cathal Crowe, our own Cathal Crowe, talk about a constituent in Clare who had contacted him and had been complaining for years of having pain. And as Cathal said, if he, as a man, had presented with tooth pain and somebody was telling them, well, it's in your head, that would just drive you absolutely around the bend. But that was the experience of the constituent in Clare that he had spoken with. So when we had started the campaign, one of the main things we were looking for was access to a scanner in Ireland that would show the mesh, show where the mesh is lying in the body. So thankfully now those scanners have been put in place in Cork and in Dublin. And again, one of the questions that the politicians were asking of the HSE is, okay, so you now have these really, really high-tech machines and they're in place. Are they operational? So we were told that there was one day in Cork where it was operational, and they didn't have the figures relating to Dublin, but from our Mesh Survivors Ireland group, we don't have any information that anybody has been in a position to attend the scanner in Dublin. So I suppose there's a drive now at this stage, given the extensive amount of public funds that have been put in place for it to purchase such a scanner, that it be used for the patients it was destined to help.
Do we know how many women in this country are thought to be affected by the mesh implants, and how many women in this county are affected by them?
And it's an interesting question, Ellen, and it's definitely something that came across on the at the Oireachtas Health Committee. Is the data set from the HSE is very poor, and the clinical director of the National Women and Infant Health Programme was not able to give a figure as to how many people are affected, how many people have had the device put in. But she said that looking at the complication rates of about 10%, and she estimated that there was around 10,000 women who had this device put in on the public system. And obviously the HSE won't have access to the figures in the private sector. So it's obviously, we would assume that it's well in excess of 10,000 when you take into account public and private patients. So an interesting thing that came out of the Health Committee as well was figures in relation to how many women have accessed the national mesh centres. So these are centres that have been established because patients have called out for it. And I'd like to stress that all of this action that has happened has only happened because women have stood outside Leinster House, have spoken to the media about their most intimate problems. And obviously, this is a repeat story that we see in Irish healthcare for women, that unless they stand and they speak about their most intimate problems, that actually the help isn't readily available to them and the service isn't adequate. So we don't have those figures, but what we did see from the Oireachtas Health Committee is that there seems to be a really low number of women who are engaging in the national mesh centres. And there was questions asked as to why the numbers seem to be so low. Our own group were able to say from their perspective that there is a relationship of trust between a patient and a doctor, and until such time as outcome measures on the work that's been done in the National Mesh Centres is provided, that, you know, people are very reluctant to undergo surgery, and they want to have confidence that the team that they're under have experience in doing what is very complicated mesh removal surgery. And until they have that confidence, they want access to the treatment abroad scheme to have it done in a country where they are doing a high volume of this surgery. And just to explain, the surgery for removal of the mesh is highly technical. They have established in the UK teams who are specialised in doing the removal surgery. And patients here want to see the same and have the confidence that the same is available here. And you know, women who have travelled to the UK spoke to the Oireachtas Committee and explained how they are a different woman having had it removed. And because of the chronic illness that has been caused by this device, women deserve that chance. I haven't spoke with a woman who has regretted having the removal surgery done, but there was speak that during the Oireachtas Committee by the National Mesh Centre that it's something that they're quite reluctant to offer because they say that it can lead to severe complications. But I was sitting in the room with patients with mesh at the time, and they all said, we deserve the chance to have our lives restored. And they will take that risk. And isn't that just such a damning reflection of the injuries that have been caused to these women? You know, that they want to have an experienced surgeon carry out the work, and they want to be given that opportunity to get their life back because they're currently living with chronic illness. Most of them have not been able to continue in their employment. They're distanced from their social circles because they can't partake in normal day-to-day life. And they feel that they're a burden on their families. And all they want is to be able to spend quality time with their friends and family. And it shouldn't be too much to ask. And they should be facilitated in every opportunity to try and get that quality of life back.
Melanie, the implants haven't been used in this country for the past 4 years. But what's happened in that time since then in terms of helping survivors affected by the implants?
So there has been huge progress. So the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, at the time, brought in the suspension in 2018. That was based on a lot on the information that was given to patients. It became quite evident that women were really in the dark as to what this device was when it was being implanted. Even when it was explained to them what the device was, they weren't. A lot of women will explain that they had no idea that it was a permanent device. They had no idea that it would be extremely difficult to have it removed. So what has happened since is that the National Mesh Centres have been set up, which is very positive, and the women are extremely grateful for that side of it. Because at least now they have a centre to go to where there's a multidisciplinary approach to their care. So that's very positive. One thing that the ladies would really like to happen would be access to medical cards. So a lot of the ladies are struggling financially. They're not in a position to keep up their jobs, and they feel they're a financial burden on their families. So we have a member of our group who is. Because the medical card is means tested, and I know you've covered John Wall, and he's battling with the medical card quite a lot in your show. Because it's means tested, like, we have a lady in our group who is using catheters. I mean, they're supposed to be one-time use only because obviously there's a high risk of infection if you're reusing them. But she doesn't have the funds to be able to purchase the new ones like she should be doing. So she's really in dire straits, you know, and this is a situation that we're hearing from a lot of the women, and they don't want to have to be going to ask their families all the time for money.
And Melanie, why are the women affected by these implants being means tested to access a medical card?
That's a very good question, and it's one that we're looking for answers on, and I think we those questions are being asked at the HSC at the moment and the government at the moment, you know. So it's something that we're fingers crossed that it's resolved in the next number of weeks, I would hope, because these are things that are having an immediate impact on women in Clare and around the country. and something that you think would be quite easy enough to resolve some of the trauma being caused to women on a day-to-day basis.
That's one of the difficulties facing the women in seeking treatment to undo the damage caused by the mesh implants. What are the other main difficulties?
So it's... It just affects so many areas of the life, Alan, you know. It distances people from society. I spoke with one lady on Wednesday, and she just spoke of how she'd love to be able to cuddle her grandchildren properly, to be able to help her daughter who has a husband who's very unwell, to help out with the kids a bit. But she just can't, because she doesn't know what each day is going to hold for her. Some days she will be in chronic pain for 16 hours and be having to be stuck to the bed for the 16 hours. So there is, until I know you're going to speak with Terry Martin from Waterford, until you actually speak with several of the women who are involved and who are suffering as a result of that, and like we have 600 women in our group from Ireland who are suffering as a result of this. It's heart-wrenching to hear the stories and the chronic pain. Like, nobody should be left in the pain. When I was meeting with the ladies on Wednesday, I could see some of them, their legs were shaking with the pain. And the other option that's available to them is pain management. And for any of your listeners who have had pain management, they'll understand that it can often be accompanied by a brain fog. So people feel it's very hard to actually be able to function in day-to-day society, and it comes with a choice of, you know, do you continue in the chronic pain, or do you take medication that really makes you not be the person that you are, you know? You lose yourself in this medication, and it's really an awful choice for the mesh survivors.
And Melanie, do you think the women should be compensated for the medical negligence due to the damage these implants have caused?
Any patient who's suffered as a result of medical negligence, and I am a medical negligence solicitor, is entitled to compensation and should be compensated, you know, but that's a question for bringing through the courts rather than through the Oireachtas Committee.